D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan out today. Hope they're doing just fine. Willie, I got to listen to last night on the call. He did not sound 100%, but he did a great job regardless.
So fought through it.
We are proud of our friend Willie Donick. Adam Vingan out today as well. So I am out of the bullpen to take matters into my own hands. Derek Mason, Connor Newt here with you. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It has been a football-centric show today, and it will continue for another hour. Let's get back into the Titans, shall we, D-Mace? I have posed the question. I heard Jake talking about this on his show for maybe 10 minutes. It wasn't too much of a segment, but I want to expand on it a little bit. He brought up the idea that the Titans, at some point late in the season, if we get to early December and the Titans know they're out of it, obviously they are right now, but if the Titans have 1 to 2 wins, maybe they find an excuse to sit Cam Ward for a couple of weeks. Maybe they say, oh, well, he rolled up on his ankle and we're just going to shut him down for the rest of the season for precautionary reasons. If it came to it, do you think that would be beneficial for the long-term career plans of Cam Ward?
The Carolina Panthers did exactly what, you know, is suggested. That, you know, they started, you know, their quarterback, and they benched him in the middle of the season.
Yep. And, for Andy Dalton.
Yeah, for Andy Dalton. And then he ended up regaining, Bryce Young ended up regaining his starting position, and he's looked a lot better. The team's better. New coach.
Yeah.
So maybe maybe that's what they needed is new environment for the young coach, I mean, for the young quarterback. And it seems to be working. I know they wish he was a little bit further along, but he's not. But it's not like, you know, he's proven to them he's not worthy of being a starter because he's played much better than he has than he was last year. But I think in that situation, because he was getting beat up bad and that whole system didn't work for him. And it had a veteran guy behind him that, you know, has had some success in his league. So they knew they were changing coaches, so they got the young man out of there. It's like, listen, there's no need because he's really bad. He wasn't showing no improvement. And Cam Ward, at least Cam Ward is showing somewhat that he's picking things up. Now, there are still things he needs to work on, but he's shown that he is picking things up. I'm not sure that would be beneficial to Cam Ward if you bench him.
Yeah.
Because you think, well, we're not going to the playoffs. You know, I don't want my young quarterback to get hurt, so let me bench him, you know, and sort of save him from all this misery. I think the only way he's going to get better is if he have more reps on the field. And he's just going to have to play through this. Now, you don't want your quarterback to get hurt. Outside of getting injured, I don't think he's shown me anything that is going to cause alarms like, oh, if he plays longer, this is going to totally mess this kid up. Now, I think the contrary. I think if you play him more, he's going to more each and every week, there's going to be things that he get better at. And, you know, hopefully one of those things is the footwork. But, you know, a lot of that stuff is going to be taken care of in the off season. A lot of those footwork issues because Paul stated this out. He said, listen, on those individuals, when they have time to work on their footwork, it's only like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, so once you get in the grind of the season, it's harder to work on those little small things. You try to, and you try to set up pass plays where his body mechanically has to do that. But for young guys, it takes some time. And I'm hoping that come next year, he will be a lot better because he's been working intently on it. In the offseason. And that's the only way, that's when we're going to see the real progress. That's when we're going to see the jump from first base to third base or home to second base, him hitting a double. It's not going to be during the season. It's going to be after the season. And when he comes into next season, we're going to see all the things that he was capable of really intently working on. before he couldn't work on all this stuff. But he's got the playbook. Each and every game, you're game plan for a different team. So you can't work on those little small things that you need to work on. Again, it's not until the offseason. So those things he need to work out, and he will. But until then, the only opportunity he has to display, you know, those mechanics is being out there playing. So unless he gets hurt, which God forbids, I'm not going to wood people if this is wood.
Is this wood?
I don't know what it is. But outside of him getting hurt, he needs to stay on the field because that's the only time they get to work. And not work meaning intently, like we're going to really work on these. You get an opportunity to go through those motions. Yeah. And they become sort of like second nature to you more and more. But it's not going to be until the offseason that he really has an opportunity to intently work on those things.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. I can't subscribe to the idea of let's sit him out of fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. Look, he could get hurt walking off the team bus today. He could fall and roll his ankle and he's out for the rest of the season. Well, we don't know. I'll use a term that Chase and Joe use on me all the time because, look, I'm a worrier. I worry about a lot of things I can't control. Don't worry about the imagined troubles. And, look, we can play this game of hypotheticals all we want to, and that's kind of what makes for good sports talk radio, in my opinion. But I don't agree with the idea of, oh, he might get hurt. Let's just shut him down because we're out of it anyway. No, I agree with you, D-Mace, in that the best reps he is going to get are live game reps, and that's where he learns the most, and that's where he is able to develop sort of his own mental game plan and his own mental tendencies on what he wants to do and what to do in which situation. I don't think that sitting on a bench and watching Brandon Allen play quarterback just for the sake of doing it and preserving your high draft pick is going to be beneficial, not just for this season, but for Cam Ward in the long term. He has that mentality where he is, you know, a leader first. And he's on record of saying, if I throw a four-pick game, I'm just going to keep coming out and swinging the same way I've been swinging. Which, good on him. I love that about him. I feel like if you were to sit him, just for the sake of sitting him, I think some of that confidence would start to fade away.
Not because it's because now you've removed me from my position, not because I was hurt or anything, but because of other factors. Instead of on a bad team allowing me to play myself through this, I will figure it out. I'm sure that's how Cam. I'll figure it out. I'm going to get this. You can tell by the way he answers his questions when they're asking him, hey, have you improved this and that? He always say, listen, I'm improving.
Yeah.
There are things I need to work at.
And he is the first one to tell you what he needs to work on.
But he said, listen, I'm improving in areas. I know that. I see it. But there's still areas I need to get better at. Mm-hmm. And if you sitting, that does, it's like, well, what do you really think of me, organization? You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, no, you leave him on the field. And I know the Titans are not thinking, you know, from that standpoint of removing him unless it just got so bad where it really is a hazard to be out there, which I don't think it's going to get there. But
right,
you can't remove this young man. You got to allow him to play through it. It would only serve him better if he continues to play through, you know, what the Titans have him going through. Because if you are true to what you're saying and true to your word, you're going to surround him by good players.
Yeah.
You're going to build this team the way it needs to be built. And hopefully Borgonzi is that guy. But, yeah, you can't. You got to let him go out there and let him play through whatever he's going through.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the notion that some fans are upset that he hasn't made an instant impact, which is not uncommon for a rookie quarterback. We talked about it earlier, D-Mace. He didn't come in and immediately make an electric impact like a Jaden Daniels did or C.J. Stroud.
No.
That's just not the kind of situation that he showed up in, and it makes sense. That said, if you want him to improve, I think that you should keep him in there and let him experience the ups and downs of being a starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's only one, that's one of those. That's a situation where you allow him, you know, to get better. He can't get better. He can't get better or worse on the bench. I get that. Mm-hmm. From, you know, theoretically, I mean, I guess he can if he's not playing. But you figure if he's on the bench, you won't notice whether he's getting better or not. But at least if you put him on the field, I know what I need to work on heading into the offseason. Exactly.
Right.
I can see, okay, he's not – okay, these are some areas we really need to hone on. But if it's not there, you don't know what he's getting better at or what he's still struggling with.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Texter says, can we get a weather report? My wife said there's a tornado coming from Smyrna or something and golf ball hail. I am not a meteorologist. Neither is Derek Mason.
But no.
I will tell you that it is raining pretty hard right now. I believe storms are going to be in effect in Middle Tennessee until about 10 o'clock tonight. We did have some thunder and some lightning here. Right now it's just rain. Not sure about anywhere else, but that's the weather report from me, Connor Newt, here on 102.5 The Game. So I want to take this a little bit in a different direction, D-Mace. The national perception of Cam Ward and the local perception of Cam Ward seem to clash a little bit, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think the average fan looks at Cam Ward and says, yeah, he's not playing good. This isn't a good situation, and maybe we should start thinking about a new quarterback. Nationally, based on people I've talked to and people I've listened to, they believe in Cam Ward. They believe that he is going to bounce back on his feet. They loved him coming out of college. They think, not that he's a generational prospect, but they think he is a good enough prospect to be the number one overall pick and a franchise quarterback for the Tennessee Titans moving forward. I tend to lean in the middle right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is a promising young prospect. I think he is the kind of quarterback that you want to build your franchise around. That said, I lean with the locality and that he is not in a good situation right now, and the roster is not good enough to set him up for success, and hence he's somewhat struggling a little bit. It is interesting to look at how the national perception clashes with local, but overall, do you feel that we should take a more optimistic approach towards Cam Ward or sort of the more grounded reality approach?
I think it's hard to tell, you know, the fan base, you know, not to have feel one way or the other. I know what I've seen or what I see, and I know that he is getting better.
Yeah.
I feel that. And I see it, honestly. But I can't – if the other guy doesn't see it or the fans don't see it, then I'm not sure that there's something that I can say to them to make them see it other than, you know, him going out there playing and showing that he is doing the things necessary to develop within, you know, this system that they have been at this point in time. So – yeah, there are people that are going to think one thing, you know, whether he's, you know, is worthy of that. Was he worthy of that number one pick or not? But a lot of this is a wait and see game.
Yeah.
That's all this is. And I get it. He didn't start off like game busters. I understand that part. but it's still a wait and see. Aren't we the same people that said Amy's not being patient? You know,
yeah.
Look at what she did.
We're
not being patient with a quarterback that's on a really bad team that has no coach right now. Essentially,
right.
They really don't have a head coach. They have an interim coach, but they don't have a head coach, permanent head coach. So you want Amy to be, you know, patient, but we're not patient, or some of us are not patient with Cam Ward, knowing the situation he's in.
Yeah, no, it's an unfortunate situation, and it's just – is what it is right now.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com if you want to weigh in on the Cam Ward conversation. Speaking of impatience, I'll take it one step further. Coming up next Let's talk about this. How long will we know before Cam Ward is indeed the right pick or a bust? Everyone's favorite topic, and excited to get into more of that coming up next right here on DVD. Connor Newt, Derek Mason here with you on 102.5 The Game.
Mike, in talking about building culture fit, obviously you drafted Cam number one overall, and you feel like he brings the intangibles you're looking for.
Yes.
That can be a franchise quarterback, but mm-hmm. What do you see from him so far? Because it looks like he has struggled probably more than most number one overall picks should entering the league.
He looks like a rookie quarterback playing on a team that had the number one pick last year. And he is he's developing, and he's developing with a lot of other rookies too as well, right? So we have two rookie wide receivers out there playing, Jim and Alec. We have Gunner playing out there. So they are learning together. And they're only going to be better because of it. And I have full confidence that Cam, because of his work, that ethic, because of his drive, that he will fix things he needs to fix, just like every quarterback in this league, though. And I have full confidence that he's going to get there.
There you go. That was Mike Borgonzi talking about Cam Ward as the future of the Tennessee Titans quarterback room. Interesting stuff there. From GM Mike. Welcome back in. DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Derek Mason here with you. DVD brought to you by Bax Homeworks. Bax Homeworks, remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. So, interesting commentary there from Mike Borgonzi. They asked him basically, how do you think of Cam Ward's season so far? And he said, he looks like the first overall pick on a team that had the first overall pick last year, which is about par for the course and what you should expect from a player coming into our system. I'm very intrigued by that answer because I think it kind of plays into the question we are all wondering and a question no one has the answer to. How long before we know Cam Ward is indeed the right pick or a first overall bust? And D-Mace, I don't think we have the answer to that question right now. But what are some signs that you think Cam Ward can show throughout the remainder of the season as we're in the bye week right now to show us that he has something we can build off of?
I mean, just continuing to go out there and, play the game in a way that shows everybody that you're developing and that you're learning. Mm. It's not going to be perfect. This is a bad team. The numbers are only going to tell a small portion of the story because you can't, if you're just looking at it, his supporting cast, and this is no slight to them, and I'm talking about the rookie guys. They're rookies just like him, so they're learning all of this too.
Yeah.
But his supporting cast isn't a supporting cast that's going to put up big numbers. They're just not. Especially that Calvin Ridley's been injured too.
Yeah.
Now these young guys are coming on and they're showing, that they're getting better. But getting better doesn't equal, they're going to have multiple 100-yard games or Cam's going to have multiple 250, 300-yard games. No. When it comes to the numbers, if that's what you're looking for, because Adam did bring this up and he said, he was right. Like, how am I going to know there has been improvement in Cam? Because right now, from a statistical standpoint, he's basically last of all qualified starting quarterbacks. He's basically last. And Adam said, just don't be last, be a little bit up there. Just don't be last. And from that standpoint or that logic, yes, it is showing improvement from a number standpoint. But just because your numbers are better doesn't mean you're improving as a quarterback. I've seen quarterbacks put up gaudy numbers and then the team don't sign them and they go somewhere else and they're horrible.
Yeah.
Just because you have gaudy numbers don't mean that you're developing into the quarterback they want you to become. So with him, I'm not looking at numbers. He's, like Borgonzi said, he's like every other rookie quarterback in this league. They're going to struggle. His struggles are just more than some have been because his roster is worse than some individuals that got drafted at that slot as a quarterback they went into.
Yeah.
I look at Michael Vick's first year. Hell, he only completed 44% of his passes.
Yeah.
44% of his passes. That
is pretty astronomically bad.
He started eight games, but he only completed 44% of those passes. And we know ultimately how dangerous Michael Vick became as a player. And he, after that, he started to get better and better and better. And unfortunately for him, some things happened and it kind of derailed him a little bit. But you can go back, you know, you go back to Michael Vick, or you can go back to some of these other quarterbacks. When that question, to me, when that question is asked, it's an unfair question, but I get it. It's an unfair question because you don't know. I've watched a team with the number one overall pick and watched them play, and they still wasn't good, and the quarterback wasn't developing. So,
and they're called the Cleveland Browns.
And they're called the Cleveland Browns. Hell, the Dallas Cowboys with Troy Aikman as the number one pick was horrible, and he was horrible. But how did Troy turn out? He's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, yeah.
Okay, so the first season isn't to be end-all, be-all. Is he struggling? Yes. But I don't think he's struggling no more than what any other number one overall pick at that position struggle. Some guys don't struggle as much.
Right.
But some guys have a better supporting cast around them.
Yep. And I go back to what I said earlier in the show. Steve had the opportunity, A, to sit a year and learn. Cam Ward does not have that opportunity. And I don't think he should, to be honest with you. He's not going to learn much behind Brandon Allen. But, like I said, he had you. Mm-hmm. And he had Chris, and he had Frank, and he had Kevin, and he had this whole supporting cast. He had a great offensive line. He had a great defense. He came into a situation where he could thrive a lot easier than Cam Ward can, and I think that's part of the argument here.
And listen, they brought Steve along slow. Mm-hmm. He didn't start for a year, damn near 2 years, honestly. But even when they put him in, they put him in slowly, and the foundation around him was more stable than what it is now. They had guys that had shown that they can produce in this league. Chris was one of them.
Yeah.
Eddie was another.
Yeah.
So you had those guys. And so when you step into that position and they add a Frank Whitecheck, and then they bolster your defense where you ain't got to do it all yourself, it allows you to develop in a way that is beneficial to everybody, quarterback, but the organization as well. Cam's in a situation where he's not in that.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have the luxury of depending on a top-ranked defense or, hell, a top-half defense. You know, he doesn't have that luxury. He doesn't have the luxury of playing, you know, with an offensive line that is good and ready to go. He don't have that luxury. Yeah. Don't have that luxury of having a veteran guy that has been there at the wide receiver position because Ridley's hurt, you know, and then you get rid of Lockett. So now you're left with is a bunch of rookies like you. So to me, the question is a good question, but I think it's an unfair question to say that he's basically playing worse than any other. His situation is different.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't seen every situation. I'm just going about a few that I know. And they are much different from Cam's.
Right. And I'll use your example again. You have seen two different rookie quarterbacks come into two completely different situations and both make it out okay because they adapted to said situation. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about how Cam Ward adapts to his situation. And look, his situation, I would hope, will get better.
Mm-hmm. It should. Hopefully it does.
It should. It
if
can't
not,
get much worse.
Somebody's getting fired again.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say it can't get worse because we said that before.
That is true.
And it got worse with the offensive line. But what I will say is, listening to Borgonzi the other day, and he needs to be the front man from now on.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah, he needs to be the front man from now on any and everything when it comes to this roster. But listening to him, I know what they want to do. Now they got to allow him to do it and nobody else. I know what they want to do. They want to draft some good players, develop them, and allow them to grow within the system with Cam and flourish. That's what they want to do. If that's let the guy that is used to doing it do it, Borgonzi.
Yeah. Well, you got to let it play out.
Exactly.
You got to be patient.
Let him do it, and fans, let it play out. I understand that each and every year presents a different problem, especially, and it's stacked on to problems that you probably hadn't dealt with. But let's continue to just watch Cam from now, you know, from when they come back until the season and the next season. Instead of saying, well, he's not going to be this, or he will be this, or we wasted a pick, we should have. Let it play out, because this is a guy that I think is improving, but he still has a ways to go. And what helps that improvement is that you surround him with better players. You don't know what a quarterback, just like Jalen Hurts, they didn't think Jalen Hurts was a good player. They thought, oh, okay, but he can't lose to a Super Bowl. What happened? They surrounded him with more players. What happened? He ends up winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So don't tell me he can't do it. Just put some people in place, because I've seen glimpses of it, just like I saw glimpses of Jalen Hurts. I always liked Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it at Alabama when he got benched, came back in, and had to win the game in the SEC championship to push them over the brink. And he did it. He came in, didn't play the whole game, came in, and won that game for them.
Mm-hmm.
With nope, just came out there. Wasn't going to be this. Came out there. So that kid, he understands. He's good enough. Just put talent around him, he'll flourish. He did at Philadelphia. It's the same with Cam Warren. I'm not saying that he's Jalen Hurts, but what I'm saying is this. The kid is proving it. You're seeing it. Let's make a true judgment on this guy when you start to put people around him that can help him. If he's still not getting the job done, then okay. But you can't say, oh, he's not getting the job done, and then say, well, he ain't got a number one receiver. He ain't got an offensive line. Okay, if you don't have all that thing, then
it's going to be a lot harder for you.
It's going to be a lot harder. Like people don't, and I know why people don't get it, because they're not in that. They're not in that situation. They've never been in it. They're just looking at it like everybody else getting better. They're getting better. Why can't our quarterback get better? Well, when the situation around him gets better, then you will see him take that necessary jump. It will be more glaring, that jump, as opposed to what it is now.
Let's get to some of your texts very quickly before we take it to the bank on our final segment of the day. 615-737-1025. 2527 says exactly what I'm arguing against. Whatever it is that makes a true franchise quarterback, Cam doesn't have it. He's a future backup disguised as a savior QB. He is the next Mariota / Jake Locker wasted pick. To that, I would respond, why? Give me some statistics that prove otherwise. And don't use his current statistics, because stats lie, like we've been harping on, D-Mace. You can look at the stats without watching the game and say Cam Ward has had a less than subpar season, which maybe is true on some level. He hasn't been the hit-the-ground-running first overall pick that a lot of fans thought he would be. But I don't think you can look at Cam Ward 9 games into his rookie season in the NFL and say, oh, he's a bust. He's already done. We've already wasted a pick. You got to let these things play out. Like we've said, he's in a horrible situation with a gun-firing owner who is not afraid to just pull the trigger immediately. He doesn't have a true GM in his – and even on the field, he doesn't have a number one receiver. He doesn't have a good defense, doesn't have an offensive line. There are a lot of factors that play into the struggles of Cam Ward so far. And I don't think you can just label him as bust 9 games into his career.
In this world of athletics, they are quicker to tag a bust sign on you.
Oh yeah.
Than anything.
It's the youth.
It's either,
I speak as part of the youth.
Either they're saying you are bust or you Hall of Fame bound.
Yep.
One of the two. It's not.
And it changes game
exactly.
to game.
It's not like, okay, this kid got to be mature and he's looking good, or he took a step back. Okay, we just got to wait. No, it's after the first game or the first year, either you're going to Canton or you're not, and you're a bust.
And it changes every single game.
Absolutely.
Yep. Thank you, Mike.
That's basically what it is.
Quickly, Justin Greenbrier says, I'm sure y'all talked about this already, but why would the Titans release Quandre Diggs instead of try to trade him? Simple answer to that, I don't think there was a market for Quandre Diggs.
He was barely playing here.
He was barely playing here. You would, at best, get maybe financial compensation for him, but I don't think anyone would be willing to give up a pick for a rotational safety. There's just no market for that.
They'll wait for you to cut him and then pick him up.
Yeah, someone will pick him up, and he'll probably serve the same role over there as he did here. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any final thoughts to get to, coming up next, I'll do my best on this. We're going to take it to the bank, as we do every Friday here on the program. It's going to be a struggle for me, I'll just tell you that right now, with no Adam or no Willie, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
We got you. Don't worry about it. We'll show you.
Stay tuned for the train wreck that is to come up next right here on DVD. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, David Janes with you on 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick here on 102.5 The Game. Vingan and Donick both out. Connor Newt in. That is me. As we do every week, to wrap up the week, we take it to the bank with F&M Bank. F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. Visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfnmbank.com. With that, I turn things over to David Janes to give last week's scores. David,
All right, guys. So last week was not a good week for us, guys. I hate to say it.
There's no us. It's just you, not me.
me and D-Mace, hold your horses, young fella. Me and D-Mace. And then, you know, Adam and Willie as well. It was not a good week for us. One of our questions, our common questions, were the Titans, will they be outscored by 12.5 points against the Chargers? They finally kept it close. I don't know why they decided to play close this time. I think it's just because all four of us decided to pick against them this week. And so there's no points for that. But the over-under 12.5 receptions for the young wide receivers, which was Helm, DK, and Iomanner, me, Adam, and D-Mace all thought, oh, we're going to believe in our young fellas. That didn't happen. And Willie just decided to say, you know what? I'm going to disagree with everyone else again. So, Willie got the 1 point. I know, yeah, typical Willie. He got 1 point off of that. But now we'll go to the individual picks. Adam said that Justin Herbert would have 250-plus passing yards and 3 touchdowns. He got the 250 passing yards. He just didn't get the 3 touchdowns, which he got bullied for, which what is it? 1-3 or 1-2 against people bullying him for picks.
So he say.
Yeah.
Did nobody bully him? Did he say, man up?
Listen, sure.
he's got a victim mentality.
Exactly. We just said, hey, make a better pick. You know, that's what we did.
You want points, man.
Exactly.
Playing it safe.
We love Adam, but you know sometimes we got to, hey, up it up a little bit.
Yeah, up the ante a little bit.
Up the ante. But he did get a point because Duke did beat Texas by 7.5 points. Mm-hmm. So he got 3 points for that for a total of 41 total
points. And that was basketball, people.
That was basketball. Yeah, not football. That was basketball. And let's go to Willie. Willie said that the Bills would straight up win and that Vladdy would get 3 times on base. The Bills won. But Vladdy did not get on base. Only got on base once.
Okay.
So Willie got a total of 4 total points for 61 total points. I mean, Willie's just taking this competition over.
Yeah, don't let him start losing, though, because then he'll come after the commissioner.
He will. And again, the commissioner talks back, too, so yeah. He's going to hear it. But, D-Mace, while I hated your picks because you picked the Lakers to beat my Memphis Grizzlies, yes. You did get a point off of that, but Austin Reeves and John Morant did not score 22 total points.
Barely played.
Ja only got 8 points. Exactly. I mean, Ja's ready to leave Memphis already from what I've seen. And I don't
get ready to learn Sacktown, buddy.
And D-Mace got a total of 3 points for 32 total points. D-Mace, you're doing really well.
Willie has how many points?
61. Now wait for this. I'm going to go to my score. And again, I kind of don't want to talk about my score because I did really bad. I got a whopping 0. So let me find my loser.
There you go.
That's how I did because I picked Vandy to have 2 rushing touchdowns. Didn't happen. And that John Morant would have 25 total points.
It's all right. You're on the air with the man who single-handedly one Ian Safar.
That is true.
Their whatever their pick game is last year.
Pick them,
so,
or whatever yeah, they call it. Yeah, whatever.
They,
call it
they still owe me a beer. So.
Yeah, they do. But but D-Mace, you have the common questions this week, so we're going to go to you for that.
Okay, common question for the week is, Vanderbilt is averaging 37 points per game. Really 38, but it's 37.7. And we know Auburn has a stingy defense, and they're only surrendering 17.7 points per game. Over, under, Vandy scores 27.5 points. Over or under? So what did Willie and Adam pick?
So Willie said under.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on behalf of Adam Vingan, let's see. Adam is also taking the under.
Man, I need some points, man. I need some points. I got to go with the over.
There we go.
Since Willie did the same thing, yeah. I'm with you, D-Mace. We're going to over party. We're exactly. The over party.
It's going to be the over. All right, the second question is, Auburn is averaging 2.7 sacks per game, and Vandy's offensive line has been pretty good. They didn't play that way much of last week against Texas, but for the most part, they played really good and only giving up one sack per game. So, over, under, sacks allowed by Vandy, 1.5. I am going to say the over.
Willie also is going with the over.
Adam's going under.
Oh, okay.
Right. I feel the over as well. Okay. Auburn's just good.
Yeah, and I think because of Diego's, which is a good thing, his ability to scramble, I think that's going to cause him to get sacked that second time, or maybe that third time. So,
I would agree. Now let's go to Connor. Since you have Adam's picks, you will go first. Go. Okay. What were Adam's individual picks?
Okay. So first up, he's going to the NFL. He is taking the Bills to cover at the Dolphins. That's a -8.5 point spread in favor of the Buffalo Bills. So Josh Allen and company handle business and cover that spread. His other one is the Seahawks cover against the Cardinals at home. That's a 6.5 point spread in favor of Seattle. So he's got both home teams. Or I'm sorry, the Bills are on the road against the Dolphins. The Seahawks are at home against the Cardinals. But regardless, he's got the team favored covering. So those are Adam Vingan's individual picks.
D-Mace?
All right. I am going, my first pick is Diego. Since I'm saying they will score over 27, Diego will account for at least 3 touchdowns, running or passing.
I like that.
The second one is Baltimore is favored by 4.5. I think they're going to cover.
I like that pick even more.
Who do they play?
Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
They will cover.
All right, so Willie's picks is, he says, Iowa +6.5 versus Oregon.
I really like that pick. I do.
Iowa's a good team. They're a sneaky, really good team. And Oregon's been struggling, it feels like.
I don't think they win, but I think they cover.
Yeah. The 6.5 is the cover is a good cover for
them.
Now, he also said, this is actually a crazy pick. He said, Ohio State +29.5 at Purdue.
Ooh.
Now, again, like, it's crazy just because to give up that many points. I mean, again, it's Iowa. I mean, not it's Iowa. It's a Purdue. So, I mean, that could happen. But it's a crazy, crazy line. Now, for me, boys and girls, if you're listening to this, I love LSU. I'm an LSU fan, and they play Alabama this week. And give me LSU, baby.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to stand up on the chair like Pat McAfee.
Listen, I can't do that. Not with this foundation over here.
Yeah, that's true.
And
we are upstairs.
We are. And for – I'm also going to go with a Ravens pick. I think give me Lamar 3 touchdown passes.
Oh.
Passes.
Ah.
3 touchdowns. He's done it before. He's had, like, big games like that before. I think he can do it again. I like his chances. I think this Minnesota defense isn't as aggressive as other defenses that they've played, and I think Lamar's he's Lamarvelous for a reason.
Lamarvelous. Oh, Lord. Is that a thing?
People say, I don't know. I know, I say it all the time.
I haven't heard it.
You've never heard it?
I've never heard it. LaMarvelous.
LaMarvelous.
I like it, though.
It's a great nickname, is it not? I mean, again.
We need to find one for Cam.
We really do.
Yeah, so Cam start Cam-azing. Playing well.
Cam-azing. I don't know.
Yeah, Cam-azing. There we go. When he start playing amazing, we can call him Cam-azing.
Yeah, we got
Here's the magician, Cam-azing.
When that gets printed on shirts, I want a cut.
Oh, no doubt. There you go.
That'll do it for us here today on the program.
Did you give Adam's picks?
I did.
Okay, cool. There we go.
Yeah. This has been
Everyone's
fun.
Picks has been
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting old, man. That's all.
D-Maze, this has been fun. I'd say let's do this again, but I hope that the other two come back healthy and stronger than ever, and you guys unite in the power of friendship.
Listen, Connor, I appreciate you, you know, steering this ship, guiding it, and then – you know, let me take control of it. I appreciate it. I am honored. Honestly, truly, you're young, but you're really, really good at what you're doing.
Well,
so keep
it.
That up, man. And it was a joy to, you know, share the airwaves with you today. So, but outside of that, people, as I say every day, be love. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful weekend. This weather's out here. Be careful, people. I love you. The team love you, even though they're not here. And Connor loves you. Be safe, be love, peace. You know what time it is. You hear that song. Don't you forget about us. Peace.